Welcome today to this memorial service for Mr. Anthony Tony Puccini. I want to welcome you all, and on behalf of the family, thank you for coming, and to welcome also the webcast viewers. We know that some family members from a distance could not be here today, and so we want to welcome them as well. And our prayer is that the Lord would be glorified today in our service. We know that that is the desire of Grace, of all the family. It was good to see so many of you able to come to the gravesite today for the interment service, and that was a difficult time, as they always are, for family members. But you know, as we thought about the great hope that we have as God's people, as His children, the great hope that is vested for us is that Christ Jesus is alive today. And because He lives, we live in Him. And those who know Him, who have put their faith and trust in Christ, well, we will be with the Lord forever and forever. When it comes to be our time to be in the place where Tony's frame, his earthly remains are at this time. And so as we come to think now about a memorial service, a time of thanksgiving, a time of rejoicing, a time of praise to God, we want to commence with a tremendous hymn, How Great Thou Art. This is speaking about the Lord Himself, and there's no better thing that we as Christians can do is yet to lift our voices and our hearts to Him in prayer. I invite you to stand if you are able to. Take your bulletin and let's sing to the Lord's praise the opening hymn.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Very happy that Sharon is able to play today to accompany with the hymns. And that was an added bonus and a special thing, and I think it's very significant also, Sharon, to be able to be a part of your dad's memorial service today. Dr. McClellan, the founding pastor of our church and the pastor of Tony and Grace for many, many years, pastor emeritus in our church here. He's going to come and just share a few thoughts, personal reflections on Brother Tony, and then also lead us in prayer.
Every so often in life, you'll meet a person that, or with whom your soul will be knit right away. Tony was such a man. When he came to our church here, I found that he and I had a lot of similar interests, and we certainly enjoyed chatting together. In reality, Tony was a very godly Christian man, and we shared our common interests. We enjoyed golf, and we had intended to get out and play together, but the way things worked out, we never did have that game of golf. I'm not sure whether the Lord has any clubs up there, but we certainly enjoyed that. And also, Tony in his business was a car buff, and I've always been interested in cars and things mechanical, so we had lots of things to share together, and he was just a delight to meet and to talk to. But by far the greatest bond between us was the fact that he knew the Lord and that he was interested in the work of God, and we certainly enjoyed talking about the things of God. And just 3 weeks ago, my wife and myself and also the pastor here and his wife, that we went along to visit him. And one of the things that impressed me was his dedication, because it's not a short distance from here to our church. And so I know that the dedication of heart he had, it was tremendous, and it really blessed us. And when we saw him, that he knew that he was in palliative care, and he knew that the end wasn't too far away, but we found him there to be rejoicing and in a happy frame of mind, even though he knew that soon he'd be going, that he knew his days were short, his body was weak, but his mind was waiting for the Lord to take him. And now he has taken him, and now he is in glory. We want to share with Grace and her family our sympathy. We're sorry to see Tony go, but where Tony is a better place than this world. You listen to the news in the world today, everything is virtually bad news. But Tony has good news, for he is in the presence of Christ, his King. And so we rejoice that he has gone home. And we pray that the Lord will bless Grace. I know he will. He always has. And his family members, that they'll be with him. And when the empty seat is noticed, the Lord, he tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And in the happy times of life, he is there. And also in the sad times, the Lord is there. Let's now just commend the family to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before thee today in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee that thou art the unchanging God. And no matter what circumstance of life we find ourselves in, whether pleasing or painful, thou art always there to encourage us And we ask Thee, O God, today that Thou would draw near and bless Grace and her family and also the friends who have gathered here who are mourning Tony's loss. We ask Thee, our Father, that Thou would draw near and give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So we commend them to Thee. We pray that each day Thou will be with them. May they be conscious of the presence of the Lord. And Father, we ask of Thee that they may also want to go to be where Tony is. And Father, we pray today, if there be any here in this funeral service that knows not the Lord, that, Lord, Thou would speak to them, that Thou would open their hearts and their minds to the things of God. And we pray, Father, that they too would come to know Tony and Grace's Saviour. So, Lord, be with us today. Bless Thy servant as he ministers Thy word, and grant our God that we may be conscious of the nearness and the presence of the Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the hand of God is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Job was a man who reflected deeply on the issues of life. Why? Well, because he was a man who suffered in his life more than most people, more than many people combined would have ever suffered. He said, "Lord, remember that my life is wind, like a vapor. Mine eyes shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. As a cloud is consumed and vanishes away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more." And of course, he is speaking there directly about human existence. We are here for a time, a number of days, years, but there's coming a point when our human experience will end on earth. And this is what Job is speaking about. He's thinking about the temporal nature of our existence here. He said, "Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They are passed away as the swift ships, as an eagle that hasteth to the prey. Man is born of woman, is a few days and full of sorrows. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. If a man die," he asks, "shall he live again?" What a great question. What a great searching question for every one of us today. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. There is a time to be born and a time to die. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, but there's a time to mourn. And today there is a combination of those things together. And so Moses prayed, "Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." For Moses said, if our time be 80 years, 70 years, or if 80 years, or if in the case of our brother Tony, even add 10 more years on top of that, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. You know, it's so important for us to listen to the Word of God and realize that there is great comfort in the words that though there is finality to our earthly existence, yet still there is a hope that goes beyond that. And the hope that we have today is the hope that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I pray that the Word of God would comfort your heart today. And one of the favorite portions of Scripture that our brother Tony had was Psalm 23. And Luke Puccini is going to come now and read Psalm 23.
So, as the pastor mentioned, I'm going to be reading Psalm 23, which is a passage that was close to Grandpa's heart. And Grandma told me that in the last number of weeks, she's been reading this passage with Grandpa, and he's been quoting alongside and emphasizing that last half of verse 4, where it says, "Thou art with me." And I think that small gesture of Grandpa quoting that just speaks volume about his reverence and love and the faith that he had in his Savior, something that I definitely witnessed throughout my life. So, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Thank you, Luke, and it's a true thing you said, because I heard Tony many times quoting that scripture and wanting to have it read to him and also repeating it. There is such great comfort and truth in the words of the psalm. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. And the only way you can do that is to know that the Lord is your shepherd. There's a poem called A Tribute to My Husband, a letter, a poem, and Brenda is going to come and read that for us now, and then following that, Dave Puccini is going to give some reflections of memories of Dad. So, Mike. Dave got a bit of a shock there. He said, "Oh no, not me, I forgot." No, I forgot, my mistake. Very good.
Mom wrote this tribute for Dad for the 60th wedding anniversary. That was 6 years ago, but she still feels the same way today. This is her tribute. A tribute to my dear husband. 60 years of marriage to you, my sweetheart, have been wonderful. But at times there were tears, discouragement, heartaches, and disappointment, which we all have to face throughout life. All in all, we have had a really good life, especially when we became Christians. Sure, the road has been bumpy at times, but in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have survived. He has given us the victory time and again with blessings more abundant than we ever deserved. Christ our shepherd led us through some dark valleys, but gave us the strength and awareness of his presence through his holy word. We met on a blind date, and both of us were nervous and wondering who we might end up with that evening. I liked you from the start, as you were looking real good behind the wheel of your brand new Meteor. Your smile was so encouraging and helped me to relax and enjoy our first date, along with our two friends, Patricia and George. This could be my knight in shining armor, I thought to myself, As our first meeting was pleasant, though both of us were a little shy. I liked your demeanor, and the respect you gave me was heartwarming. You were not aggressive and treated me kindly in your gentle way. Soon our courtship began, and we were engaged a year later. Then another year passed by, and we planned our wedding. On June 25th, 1955, we made our vows to love each other and stay together until death would part us. When God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, saved us in the early 1960s, we let him rule in our home. Bible reading and prayer became a priority, and we taught our children all we could pass on to them of what we had learned. Where would we be today if we had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, God's gift of salvation and eternal life in heaven? We have not had a perfect marriage because both of us are sinners, but our relationship with Jesus Christ has been preeminent in our lives. It is because of our blessed Savior, who called us to himself, that our marriage has survived. He gave us wisdom and love to raise our children, whom we know, love, and obey him too. We rejoice and praise our Lord God, the true living God. We look forward now to being with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven in the not-too-distant future. The best is yet to be, as quoted from Charles Spurgeon. Psalm 116, verse 15, from the Word of God says, Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, how we must give praise and glory to God, who sacrificed his only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross for sinners like you and me. Jesus our Lord shed his blood to wash away our sins. He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." We have nothing we can do but accept and trust him, and we have both done that in submission to the Holy Spirit of God. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And I do this daily as I thank him for you, the best husband I could have ever chosen. The great thing about you is that you are a man who loves God with all your heart and soul and are obedient to God's word. I have been blessed as your wife and the mother of our children, and you have always worked so hard to take care of all. I love you with all my heart. Grace.
I'm sure Dave had a lot of memories too, so you could have, I got to read this, so I can't. Today, my dad is with his Lord and Savior, and it is where he's wanted to be for a while now. Although we will miss him, he is better off. In fact, we have it on the authority of the Apostle Paul that he is far better off. During the last year or so, his thoughts were often on things above. A few months ago, he and I were sitting on the deck, and he was looking at the sky. Then he said to me, "Isn't it amazing that we'll see each other in heaven?" When he was in the hospital, he would tell anyone who would listen that he was ready to die and be with his Savior, the Lord Jesus. Dad was a gracious, loving husband to my mom and an awesome father to his children. For as long as I can remember, he was an ever-present role model for me. He worked long hours to get his business established when he started his garage, and that meant he would often be home, wouldn't be home for dinner. So when Mom sometimes would say he would be home to eat with us, I remember being excited and watching out the front window for him to come down the street in his car so I could meet him at the door. when he would come home, maybe an hour after we'd eaten, and Mom would give him his dinner, I remember us kids at the time bugging him for scraps of food off his plate while he was eating. Mom would say, "Let him eat. You've already had your dinner." But he would oblige us anyway. In later years, when I was about 11 or 12 years old, I would often, sometimes go to a friend's house with them after school to play or study. If their fathers were at home, I would often remember them as tall, wooden, aloof figures in suits and ties. I would think to myself, I bet he's never wrestled his son on the living room floor. My dad always welcomed my friends if he was around, and was even willing to play with us because he was really a big kid at heart who only wore a tie on Sundays. I have fond memories of him, and I going out on Victoria days and walking down some isolated railroad tracks, shooting our pellet gun at tin cans and setting off small firecrackers back when they were still legal. He also used to take me on service calls in his tow truck. Dad was also my employer for many years. I did his payroll, paid bills, and tried to balance the weekly receipts. This was before computers, so everything was done with only a calculator. Often he had little pieces of paper in the till that said, "May not balance, see Dad." When he couldn't remember what he had done, one of his favorite lines was, "Don't worry, it'll all come out in the wash." If I could balance to within plus or minus $5, we were happy. As grown-up children, Dad and Mom were always there to help us out, whether physically, financially, or just listening to us. I didn't really understand what it meant until I had my own children. Then I realized that my wife, Sue, and I would do almost anything we could to help our kids. I have so many fond memories of Dad that I will never forget. He and Mom raised their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and it's a testimony to them that all six of us are walking with the Lord today. Dad finished his course of life well, and now his problems are over. Our job now was to look after Mom and push on in this fallen world a little longer, and relatively speaking, it isn't really that long before we who are in Christ Jesus will be reunited with Dad in the presence of our Savior. I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you, Brenda and Mike. Appreciate that today. We're going to watch a photo tribute now to our brother, Mr. Puccini.
Thank you.
Thank you for putting that together. There were tremendous pictures there, and to those of you who know more deeply, all the memories are fresh to the mind, and the tears are evidence of your love and of the great loss that you feel in your heart today. These memories are ones to be held onto firmly and never to let go. They are so very, very precious. I want to give my own personal condolences to my sister Grace and the entire family. Some I know better. I know Lisa and Sharon, having met them more as they would bring their mom to the church, their mom and dad, and other family members. Michael, appreciate today sharing that with us. And David, Elaine, Brenda, and all the wives and husbands, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, cousins, relatives, friends. Friends, you're all here today, and those watching online and who will watch maybe the later to review the service again, you can download and watch it from our church website. It will be up there for you to see a bit later. From all of our church family, Grace and Tony were dearly loved, are dearly loved by the families in the church, our elders, deacons, and just personally from myself. You know, Brother Puccini was a great encouragement to me as a pastor. He would often, at the door going out, shaking hands, saying, "Thank you, brother, for the word today. Encouraged my heart." And you know, to a pastor, that is very, very meaningful and very helpful to encourage. And he was one to always do that. He would take maybe one word or one phrase that was spoken in a message, and he would just take that with him for the day, the week, and he would reflect on it, turn it over in his mind, and in that sense, it was very, very special and encouraging to me. Our brother was very thoughtful, and the expressions that have been shared today make that very clear. He was a man who had a loving heart. Not a perfect man, we know, and as Grace very openly shared in that tribute, not every day was a perfect day. Not every day was a sun-shining day. Relationships aren't like that. On earth they're not, and in every marriage relationship there are problems, there are issues. But you know, when Christ is in the relationship, because he's in the heart of the individuals, when they came to profess him and receive the Lord, that made things different. It didn't mean, friends, that the troubles all evaporate and go away. But it does mean that when you're in the midst of those problems, you have the Lord with you. And he is the one who is going to come with you and help you through it. One of the little evidences of the kindness of my brother was seen when he gave me a little gift. He did one for my wife, Jill, and for me as well. And it was a hobby that he had, woodworking. He loved to do this. And this sits on my desk in my room. And on the bottom of it, well, you can see there's a little cutout from the part, and it says T. Puccini. And this is very special to me. And I will cherish this dearly because it was just handcrafted. It was done out of an expression of love and appreciation for me, to me, and I'm so thankful for that. And so I will cherish this. It's a very precious thing for me to have. There are two portions of Scripture that come to the forefront of favorites. And I was asking the Lord, which one should I speak on? Would it be Psalm 23, the opening verse? Or would it be John 14, verses 1 to 6? Because those verses also were so powerful and influential in his life. And I thought, I must bring them both together. And so when I think about Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And I look at John 14, verse 1. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And when the Lord Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, he was only a matter of hours from the cross. Calvary was a shadow over the Lord. He had been with his disciples for 3 years. They had watched him. They had been with him. They had lived with him. And he was so concerned for them and for their well-being. He had a heart that was for his people. And so when he said to his disciples, not thinking about his own suffering and anguish that was just around the corner, but he said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes to us as the Lord of glory. Because in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And David, when he wrote the shepherd's psalm, he looked forward to Messiah. He looked forward to the coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and of the marvel of God's providence that David himself would be in the human line of Christ. And yet he knew that. But David would say, this Lord is my Lord, the Lord of glory. And Jesus would respond, echoing centuries down the road, yes, David, and John, and Matthew, let not your heart be troubled. I want you to think with me today, friends, about the great truth of the shepherd, the Savior, our Lord. You know, as the disciples were facing this situation, there undoubtedly were many whys that came up in the words that Jesus spoke to them. He said, I'm not going to be with you long. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to be taken away from you. They didn't quite get it yet. They didn't understand what that meant. the Son of Man will be crucified. And you know, friends, there are a lot of whys in our life that we ask. We don't have the answers for. We might wonder, why has my life taken a certain course? And the dreams and aspirations that I had, they have not materialized. They have not gone the way I thought they would. Life has taken a different turn. You ask the question, why has this happened to me? Why has sickness affected my family, my life? Why pain? Why disease? Why virus? Why is there violence and distress and depression and ultimately death in this world? Why has all this come about? It does not make sense. It seems so wrong, so out of order, so confusing. And yet the comfort of the Word of God is the comfort that I give to you today. The Lord is my shepherd. Let not your heart be troubled. God's Word surpasses all of the uncertainties of this life. The Word of God comes to the soul at the very moment of our need. And friends, I say to you today, if you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, then you cannot turn to depend upon the Word of God to be your comfort and to be your direction. And I say this to you today, as I mentioned this afternoon, or this morning rather, at the cemetery. The only hope that there is for humanity, the only hope that we have, is to have your faith in Christ Jesus, who has risen from the grave. He is alive today, and He lives in the power of an endless life. And I say to you, trust in Him, make Him the Lord of your life, and then you will not be troubled, neither will you be afraid. When David wrote those words, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was not referring to some ordinary guide of life. He wasn't referring to an earthly lord or king, but he was referring to the Lord of glory, the Creator of all things. He was referring to the Messiah, his King and Savior. In another psalm, he asked this question, "Who is this Lord of glory?" The Lord of hosts, the God of all creation. Friend, do you know Him today? He is a knowable God, and He has revealed Himself to mankind now. And my brother Tony, who often said to me, "Be sure at my funeral to preach the gospel. Be sure to tell people the message of life and hope and truth and everlasting life." And so I share that with you today, because the Lord's purpose in our life and our death is that we might be glorifying vessels to Him Himself. And if in whatever way the Lord may use us and make use of our life, as He did for our brother. And the legacy, the testimony, the witness that he had, it shows abundantly his love for Christ. And he would want today for every family member, every child and grandchild and great-grandchild, every cousin, every relative, every friend who ever knew him, he would want you to share in that great prize that he has now of everlasting life. Some people, you know, are willing to admit that Jesus was a good man, maybe even a prophet, that he came to do some things in this world that would make it a better place. Sometimes people think and acknowledge that Jesus was even a man so full of conviction that he was prepared to die for his convictions. And while all those things may be true, to leave it there, friend, you have missed the point. Because until you acknowledge him as the Lord and Savior and King of your life, you have not recognized him as the Lord of glory. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that today? Let not your heart be troubled. But David also knew, as our brother Tony did, that Jesus not only is the Lord of glory, but he is the Savior of sinners. Some people ask the question, why death? Why do we have to go through this whole process? Is it all just a great accident? That's what those who promote evolution would have people believe today. We're all just on a great, massive journey with no purpose, no aim, no function. And now we're just going to expend ourselves, go down to the grave like a dog into the dirt, and that's the end of it. Friend, if that's all that there is to this life, there is no purpose. There is no hope. But I say to you today that there is hope in Christ Jesus to see that he is the creator of all things and the redeemer of all who will ever be saved must come through Christ. For Jesus is the Savior of sinners. I am the way, he said, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A few months back, I had the privilege of going up and visiting with Grace and Tony. And at that time, we were sitting around the kitchen table, just chatting away, sharing the things of the Lord. And I asked my brother, well, how did you come to know the Lord? He said, well, I was brought up as a Roman Catholic. Not really that dedicated, per se. He had little interest, really, in spiritual things. But it was after his wife, Grace, had come to faith in the Lord Jesus, and she'd been praying for him. And by the way, that's when the real friction happened in their relationship, when Grace was converted and Tony was not, and now there's a lot of problems that are going to be happening. But the Lord was working in his heart, and he testified, I finally surrendered myself to the Lord. I couldn't fight it anymore. And he said, I just bowed my head. He said, I simply repented of my sin and I asked the Lord to come into my heart. And he said to me that day, and it really stuck with me, he said, when I got up from that table, he said, I knew that I was a changed man. He said, I knew I was saved. I was born again. There's no lightning bolts from heaven, no great revelation apart from inside, the witness of the Holy Spirit was working in him. And he knew it. He was a changed man. And then the results and the effects after that of everyone who knew him realized, yeah, he is different. Something's happened in this man's life. He was born of the Spirit of God. The Scripture says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise, friend, for you today. There is comfort for you. There is direction and help, and there is hope. Have you called on the Lord yourself? Have you repented of your sin? There's no time to waste. Our brother had a long life, 90 years, a long time. But I want to tell you something that I have learned in my years so far. You know, you look back over the last 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, and as quick as you could snap your fingers, it seems that those years have gone. My grandfather lived to be 94, and I can remember asking him as he was in the hospital, on his hospital bed, and I said, Grandpa, how have the last 50 years of your life seemed to you? And he said, it has seemed like a vapor. It's gone. 50 years. He was 94. And so you think an old age to live, and that's good, 70, 80, and now 90. But I want to tell you, friends, your life is going faster than you understand. And we don't know what a day brings forth. And therefore, it's so essential that we be ready when the day of our appointment comes to die. Yes, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment is coming. And we need to be ready and prepared. The great rejoicing that our brother had was his trust in the Lord. And I finish with this point briefly, that Christ is not only the Lord of glory, He is the Savior of sinners, but He is the shepherd of His people. He guides and directs and keeps us. You know, I could never keep myself in salvation. If it depended on me, I'd be gone long ago, I would tell you. But when I have placed my faith in the Lord, He is the one who has saved me. He is the one who keeps me. And He is the one who shepherds me, like a shepherd would guide his sheep and protect them. He keeps the wolf away. He goes in front to show us where we are to go. And if you say this to someone who doesn't know the Lord and is not a believing person, they think, oh, you're a bit crazy. What do you mean the Lord's leading you? What does all that mean? It's all kind of imaginary. Well, it might be to those who don't know the Lord, but when you're in Christ and you know Him as your Savior, you know what I'm talking about. God's Spirit is leading. Christ is the shepherd of His sheep. And I'll tell you, friend, if you put your faith in Him, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. Maybe you've been abandoned by someone in this life, but the Lord will never abandon you when you put your trust in Him. So, young person, medium age, maybe in the senior years of your life, the Lord can be depended on. You can trust Him. And as you place your trust in Him, you will find that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Listen to these words of a poem by a man called Fred Cowell. And with this I close. He wrote, "Upon the golden seashore sand I wrote my name one day. The waves came in, and when they left, my name had passed away. Upon the shifting sands of time, men write their names today, but when eternal years roll in, their names will pass away. Upon the spotless book of life, God wrote my name one day. Eternal years can never take that God penned name away. My name is there forever, through all God's endless day, for He who died to write it there has put it there to stay." May God write His truth upon your heart at this time. We're going to close our service now by singing the second hymn that is on your bulletin. And both these hymns were chosen by Tony, by Grace. And so I invite you please to stand as we sing these words. Thank you. let us think about them as we are singing, and to the first verse and the chorus again. Loving Father, we have so much today to give thanks for, so many reasons to rejoice. The greatest of all, Lord, is that we know that no matter how long we have on this earth to live, one day we shall be absent from the body and present with the Lord forever and forever. And what a glorious day of rejoicing that will be. Father, I pray with thanksgiving for every memory of our brother Tony Puccini. And I pray now that as he rejoices in glory with his Savior, that those of us left behind will know the presence and the comfort, the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Be with the family. Surround our sister Grace with your arms of love. And all her children, and all the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, every family member. Lord, work salvation in some heart here today. Because then our brother Tony's heaven will be two heavens if someone from his memorial service, Lord, meets him in glory. Part us now in your fear, with your blessing. Go in front of us, Lord. Help us to magnify our loving Savior. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.